And some distinguished scientists went on believing after Darwin. We have no reason to doubt Michael Faraday's sincerity as a Christian, even after the time when he must have known of Darwin's work. He was a member of the Sandemanian sect, which believed, past tense because they are now virtually extinct, in a literal interpretation of the Bible, ritually washed the feet of newly inducted members, and drew lots to determine God's will. Faraday became an elder in 1860, the year after The Origin of Species was published, and he died a Sandemanian in 1867. The experimentalist Faraday's theorist counterpart, James Clerk Maxwell, was an equally devout Christian. So was that other pillar of 19th century British physics, William Thomson, Lord Kelvin, who tried to demonstrate that evolution was ruled out for lack of time. That great thermodynamicist's erroneous datings assumed that the sun was some kind of fire, burning fuel, which would have to run out in tens of millions of years, not thousands of millions. Kelvin, obviously, could not be expected to know about nuclear energy. Pleasingly, at the British Association meeting of 1903, it fell to Sir George Darwin, Charles's second son, to vindicate his unknighted father by invoking the Curie's discovery of radium and confound the earlier estimate of the still-living Lord Kelvin.
Great scientists who professed religion become harder to find through the 20th century, but they're not particularly rare. I suspect that most of the more recent ones are religious only in the Einsteinian sense, which, I argued in Chapter 1, is a misuse of the word. Nevertheless, there are some genuine specimens of good scientists who are sincerely religious in the full traditional sense. Among contemporary British scientists, the same three names crop up with the likeable familiarity of senior partners in a firm of Dickensian lawyers, Peacock, Stannard, and Polkinghorn. All three have either won the Templeton Prize or are on the Templeton Board of Trustees. After amicable discussions with all of them, both in public and in private, I remain baffled, not so much by their belief in a cosmic lawgiver of some kind, as by their belief in the details of the Christian religion, resurrection, forgiveness of sins and all. There are some corresponding examples in the United States, for example, Francis Collins, administrative head of the American branch of the Official Human Genome Project. But, as in Britain, they stand out for their rarity and are a subject of amused bafflement to their peers in the academic community. In 1996, in the gardens of his old college at Cambridge, Clare, I interviewed my friend Jim Watson, founding genius of the Human Genome Project, for a BBC television documentary that I was making on Gregor Mendel, founding genius of genetics itself. Mendel, of course, was a religious man, an Augustinian monk, but that was in the 19th century when becoming a monk was the easiest way for the young Mendel to pursue his science. For him, it was the equivalent of a research grant. I asked Watson whether he knew many religious scientists today. He replied, "Virtually none. Occasionally I meet them, and I'm a bit embarrassed, because, you know, I can't believe anyone accepts truth by revelation." Francis Crick, Watson's co-founder of the whole molecular genetics revolution, resigned his fellowship at Churchill College, Cambridge, because of the college's decision to build a chapel at the behest of a benefactor. In my interview with Watson at Clare, I conscientiously put it to him that, unlike him and Crick, some people see no conflict between science and religion, because they claim science is about how things work and religion is about what it is all for. Watson retorted, "Well, I don't think we're for anything. We're just products of evolution. You can say, gee, your life must be pretty bleak if you don't think there's a purpose. But I'm anticipating having a good lunch." We did have a good lunch, too. The efforts of apologists to find genuinely distinguished modern scientists who are religious have an air of desperation, generating the unmistakably hollow sound of bottoms of barrels being scraped. The only website I could find that claimed to list Nobel Prize-winning scientific Christians came up with six out of a total of several hundred scientific Nobelists. Of these six, it turned out that four were not Nobel Prize winners at all, and at least one, to my certain knowledge, is a non-believer who attends church for purely social reasons. A more systematic study by Benjamin Bait Halami found that among Nobel Prize laureates in the sciences, as well as those in literature, there was a remarkable degree of irreligiosity as compared to the populations they came from. A study in the leading journal Nature by Larson and Whittam in 1998 showed that of those American scientists considered eminent enough by their peers to have been elected to the National Academy of Sciences,